Morning all. It's certainly nice to be back in Leeds again. It's been a while since we've visited you here. Often when we come with to see Pastor John, he's in other churches, so it's nice to be back here. And I thank Pastor Jonathan for giving me an opportunity to bring this word this morning. This morning I'd like us to look at a verse from Luke chapter 22 and verses 47 to 51. This is an account, as we'll read, that occurs during the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's Luke chapter 22, verses 47 to 51. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. So I've titled this morning's sermon, "Why Did Jesus Heal the Servant's Ear?" This story is recorded for us in all four of the Gospels, the incident of the cutting off of the servant's ear, in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 18. But it's only in Luke that we find the account of the healing of the ear. And that's why I've chosen to read this account from Luke, because I think there are some important things to be learnt from the incident and the healing and why it occurs. So as we get into this sermon this morning, we want to look briefly at Peter's role in this, because as we read in the book of John, it is in fact Peter who wields the sword and cuts off the ear. And then we will move on to look at how Jesus responds and what we can learn from this. So as we look at what Peter did, we see in this verse, as we've read, that all the disciples asked if they should take up their weapons against the arresting crowd, as it says in verse 49. But Peter is the one who attacks before getting an answer from God, from Jesus. So the question arises for me, what was he trying to do? Well, as I look at it and I've read it and prayed on it, I believe he was actually trying to kill, or at least seriously injure, the servant. Because the ear is so close to the head, it's very difficult to sever it without going anywhere near the head. If it was just a hand, it could be outstretched and it could have been just a warding off blow that Peter tried to make. But I think his actions here showed that he was actually trying to kill the servant. And indeed, the theologian Matthew Henry suggests that it was in fact God himself who intervened to direct the blow away from killing him and onto the servant's ear. And we will come on to that point later on. So on to our first point, with Peter's actions in mind, why did Jesus heal the servant's ear? Well, we see in Matthew, Luke and John the words that Jesus spoke to Peter after he had cut off the ear. And we're going to read from Matthew 26, verses 52 to 54. And it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Put your sword back in its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? And how then will the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way?'" So, in looking at this, I believe that Jesus healed the ear of the servant to reinforce his words to the disciples, to give them more weight. His words were directly telling Peter, and the other disciples indeed, that violence was not the way of the Lord. If Peter had only remembered the words of Jesus a few days before, while Jesus was teaching, he would not have acted like this. For it says in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 39, and he said to them, when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus responds and says, And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it, and this is the important bit in terms of this passage. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Peter's actions here do not show love for a neighbour. But it's interesting, when we look further in the Bible, when we get onto the books of 1 and 2 Peter, which were written sometime after this event, possibly sort of 30-odd years later, we see just how much Peter had learnt from this incident and how he had changed. As we see in 1 Peter verses 3, 8 to 9, he says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. So we see here how Peter had changed from chopping off the ear of a servant in an act of aggression to realizing that God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to live in love with all people. And I believe that Jesus healed the ear to emphasize this to his disciples, that emphasized the words he spoke. And he also, in these words, reminds the disciples that he has come to be obedient, to do the Father's will. And again, the healing of the ear puts added weight on his words. The second reason for the miracle, that I believe, was to rectify Peter's wrongdoing, that in some ways threatened to undermine the teaching of Jesus in his earthly ministry. We often see when we read the Bible that Peter's portrayed as a very impulsive figure in both word and in his deeds. Here, however, his impulsiveness leads to him lashing out with a sword at a servant. It's a step beyond what he's done in the past. We see possibly the old Simon and not Peter the Rock. He loses control of himself. He was not thinking or acting as Christ would want him to. As we've already read, he showed no love for a neighbour. He showed possibly love for Jesus, trying to protect Jesus, but not for his neighbour. Now, if Jesus had let this action pass and merely gave vocal response, then it might have given credence to some to believe that you could do violence towards others, because they could argue Jesus did nothing to stop the violence here. This in turn could have undermined the teachings of Jesus with his followers not behaving as Christ had intended, and his authority could have been dented. But by healing the ear, Jesus reinforced not only the words he spoke at the incident, but indeed his whole ministry was reinforced as his love and actions continued to match his deeds. And he didn't want any of his followers to act as he would not act. So I think that's another reason why he heals the ear, and what we can learn from this, that Jesus is teaching us that we must always live our lives loving one another and acting as Christ wants us to act. And as we continue to look at this incident, we come to the fact that the miracle emphasizes the need for us to ensure that we listen to God. In this incident occurred in the Garden of Gethsemane at the time Jesus was arrested, and just a very short time before, maybe an hour, maybe less, he entered the garden. Peter entered the garden with Jesus and the other disciples, and we see in Mark 14 verses 37 to 38, Jesus had taken Peter and some of his disciples aside and was going to pray, and he came back and he found them sleeping, and he said, and he came back and he found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keeping watch and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we see here, Jesus is specifically telling Peter and some of the others, the disciples, the importance of praying that they do not fall into temptation. But within such a short time of having failed to pray, Peter falls into temptation. He failed to pray and then he fell into temptation to strike out against Jesus' arresters rather than to heed the will of God. If he had listened and if he had prayed, he could have avoided falling into the temptation. He would have been spiritually prepared to face the very difficult and stressful situation of seeing his Lord and his Master arrested and taken for execution. What was his temptation? It may have been anger, rage, bitterness, fear. I'm not sure which of these temptations it might have been. You can't put a finger on it, I don't think. But it was certainly the temptation to believe that he knew better than Jesus, that he needed to intervene to save his Lord and Master from allowing this to happen. Jesus had told Peter and the disciples on several occasions in various different ways of what was going to happen to him. In Matthew 16, verses 21 to 22, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' And then we come to the very famous response that Jesus says to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.' Peter failed to listen and understand what Jesus was telling him. And indeed, only 2 days before the arrest of Jesus and this incident in the garden, we find in Matthew 26:2, it's recorded as saying, "You know that after," Jesus speaking again, "you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion." We know Peter understood who Jesus was. He was the first to recognize him as the Christ, the Son of Man. But he shows here in this incident that he hadn't let it take a hold of his entire life and was unwilling to let him be taken from him, not fully understanding possibly what it was Jesus needed to do. But it's interesting, isn't it, that he ended up cutting off an ear. Not a hand, not a foot, not a nose, but an ear. The item with which we hear. But hearing was the one thing he had failed to do. He'd failed to listen in the garden when Jesus had told him to pray. And he'd failed to listen properly and comprehend what Jesus had come to do. So the miraculous healing of the ear was a symbolic act by Jesus to show to Peter and the disciples, and indeed us today, of the importance of listening to God when he has spoken into our lives, be it generally or at a specific point. And moving on to the next point, in point four, the healing, in addition to bringing teaching to the disciples and us, also shows us the pure love and mercy and compassion of our Lord towards all of humanity. It showed once again the very true nature of Jesus and his real compassion for everyone, even his enemies. Here he was, stood in front of a crowd ready to arrest him, and one of those is injured, and he reaches out and touches him and heals him. Jesus came to heal the scars of sin, but he also was willing to heal the scars of the flesh as well, as we see in this incident. Now, most of the recorded accounts of the physical healings that Jesus performed occurred on people who either asked Jesus or sought him personally, or were asked indeed by somebody else on their behalf. But here, in all four of the gospel accounts, there's no record that this servant sought healing from Jesus. But Jesus, in his infinite love, mercy and compassion, gives healing all the same. and he demonstrates to his followers and his enemies that he is full of love, and he has come to live and die for all. And indeed, you see here, even in his last minutes of liberty, before he is arrested, he spends it healing one of those who's come to arrest him. And indeed, it is the last recorded physical healing that Jesus performs before he goes to the cross. And once again, the healing of the ear shows the intimacy with which God works, caring and loving people in all situations. And finally, my fifth point, in terms of why Jesus healed the ear of the servant. We read in Luke 22:50, it was in fact Peter's right ear that was cut off. And as we mentioned earlier at the start, I believe there's nothing in Jesus' ministry that occurs by chance. And if we believe that God may have redirected that blow to the servant's right ear, as Matthew Henry suggests, we ask the question, well, why did he even land it on the body? He could have deflected the blow completely away from the servant. But I think, however, that it was specifically the right ear that was severed to provide Jesus with a further opportunity to share a message with his disciples and us. Now, we have to go back in the Bible to the Old Testament, to the sacrifices, and indeed to Exodus 29:20. And we read of the sacrifices being prepared for Aaron and his sons, who were the priests, the ones who had access to God. And we read there, and it says, "You shall slaughter a ram and take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the lobes of his son's right ear, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and the toes of their right feet. Sprinkle the rest of the blood around on the altar." As we see, part of the peace offering required the blood of the sacrifice to be divided between God and the priests. Part of the blood was sprinkled upon the altar round about, and part upon their bodies and upon their garments. And it's repeated again in Leviticus 8:24. When Christ died for us, he made a way for all humanity to have direct access to God the Father, thus effectively making us all like priests. Thus, symbolically in this incident, we see Jesus heals the servant's ear. He was pointing to the sacrifices of the Old Testament and showing that he had come to be the final sacrifice. We see the as yet unspilt blood still stood in Jesus there, the once and for all peace sacrifice, symbolically touching the right ear of humanity, whom he was about to make into priests through his death, because we would then all have the access that the priests of old had, all having access to God. So that whoever would partake of the sacrifice or just believe in God, in Jesus, could have a relationship with God as Aaron and the priests of old had had, a relationship of both servitude and of closeness. And I think it's also interesting to note that the name of the servant, as John records it, was Malchus, which means king, kingdom, or counselor. Jesus came that we, in becoming priests, might enter his kingdom as royalty. And so as we conclude here, we see that the incident occurred of the chopping off of the servant's ear, not by chance, but Jesus used it as a way to speak once again to all those present and indeed us. He reinforced to his disciples the importance of words that he spoke to them. He ensured that Peter's actions did not undermine his teachings. He reminds us of the importance of listening to the words of God and demonstrates yet again how Jesus loves all of mankind, even those who stand against him. And I think there's some real important things we can learn here about the importance of listening, of receiving what God has given us in his word, be it in the scriptures or when God speaks to us. The importance of listening and paying and doing God's will and ensuring our lives are in line with God. And finally, it symbolically helps us to show that the sacrifice that Jesus was to make was to allow us all to become like priests, having full access to God and the kingdom of heaven. And that is something we can rejoice in this morning, the fact that Jesus came, he died on the cross, and we have now have full access to our Lord God.